'cause I need more. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I'm hungry for you. Jesus, I'm longing for you. 'Cause Lord, you are all I want. Jesus, I'm desperate.
Some noise for Jesus tonight. Let's stand with know that God's house is full. We love you, Lord. Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Just because there's only 50 people doesn't mean you can't make noise for 100. Lord, we love you, Lord. We love and magnify and praise you. Lord, because you're worthy. Even on a Sunday night with only 20 people at God's house, he's worthy. If there's 30 people, or there's 5 people here, he's worthy.
Praise.
Yesterday we went shopping, we weren't prepared. We didn't bring a cooler. It was 96 degrees, and we brought a little dinky cooler, and I stuck it in the console in my truck, and it made it through the day. But if I brought a big cooler, and I filled it full of everything that I needed, and had a little extra room, I could put a little more in it when I was coming home with my wife. I said that to say this. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, and prepared, the emphasis on prepared, unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen, amen.
I hate being unprepared. If I went to a job site and I forgot a tool, and I got to the job site, sometimes I had to turn around, go back to the shop, get the right tool, and go do the job. That didn't make my boss too happy. Or I forgot something, and I went out a route to do it. I believe the Lord wants us to be prepared. And I believe he pays special attention to those who want to hear his voice and know how to be prepared. Jesus said his people would know his voice. Revelation talks about that. It talks about when he speaks to the church, his spirit will speak to the church. Prepared means ready for consideration to use. Furnished with necessary supplies or equipped with a purpose and a plan. I don't believe God wants us to leave here tonight unfurnished, unprepared, without a plan. I think he gives us special consideration to do something and to worship him, to come here every service with our prayer time before church, our prayer and worship during church, our altar call service. Every part of that helps me be prepared and helps you be prepared. Brother Davis this morning bared his soul about having burdens and intercessory prayer, and the church has to travail like a woman. The church is the bride. And if we're going to have babies, we have to do some things. He reminded me this morning, and it made me think about how unprepared I am. And it made me think about the catastrophe, that one of the worst things that's happened this summer happened at 2 o'clock this morning. People left this world in Florida unprepared. They probably had no idea that someone was going to walk into a club and shoot them. And they left and went into eternity unprepared. That's a terrible feeling. Yeah. And the people around them, what could they do if they weren't a Christian to pray for them? If there wasn't someone, there probably weren't too many Christians in the kind of place that this took place. But it grieved my heart to see where this world is going, and so many people are unprepared. And the only way they're going to help be prepared is by using us. God wants to use us to prepare people's hearts and lives, to reach, to minister, to touch, to make a difference. And tonight, the more I come to church, and I'm sorry if I'm so serious, but every time I come to church, there for many years, I was patty caking for Jesus. I was sitting in a pew, backslid, faking it till I make it. That ain't going to work, folks. That is not going to work. If you just come to church just to come to church, to put in your time and punch the clock and go home, you're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole point. We're here to make a difference in our world, and our world deserves that. And God wants to use us to make a difference in this world. Tonight, leave here with something that'll charge you, energize you, burden you, touch you, move you, convict you, change you in some way. That you'll go out and get a Bible study. You'll witness to somebody this week. You'll make a difference in somebody's life so our house can be full. So God can come back and say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. I want to be busy about my Father's business, even when the pastor's gone. Just in his absence, he needs to get recharged and come back. But we need to be faithful and be working while he's gone and while the Lord, because there's going to come a day that we're not going to be able to do anything. It's going to come a day that it's going to be end up, game over, door shut, gone, and the world will be lost. So we only got so much time to work. Lord, help us.
Your presence can change me.
No,
With authority you've spoken, and you set the captive free. You're the King who came to serve, and you're the God who washed our feet. You're the one who took our burdens, and you bled upon the cross. In your kindness and your mercy, you became a way for us. Forgetting all our sins, remember all your promises. Amazing, more than amazing. Forever our God, you're more than enough. Oh, how wonderful, oh, how glorious, you are amazing, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, oh, how glorious, you are amazing, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful. Oh, how glorious, you are amazing. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, oh, how glorious you are. You are amazing, more than amazing.
To see through eyes of love.
Saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God.
Amen.
Thank God for gifts from God.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Mike.
Free. for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order and makes the orphan a son and daughter? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, 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 oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. All that you've done for me.
Hallelujah. It is just amazing to be in His presence in the house on a Sunday evening. Lord, you're worthy of this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's been such a wonderful praying spirit in this place. If you got here around 6 o'clock, a little bit after, there was something resonating in this place this evening, and I feel led not to just let that go right at this moment. I almost wanted to interrupt Brother Al, that I feel like we need to tap into a spirit of intercessory prayer for a few minutes before we go any further. The word's going to go forth, but we need to tap into something. We had a tremendous word of the Lord by Brother Davis about pressing in and about having anguish. There are some loved ones that are not here tonight. You know them by name. One of them is my brother, Dan. He's not here tonight, and it hurts and it grieves my spirit, because I've woken up many nights in the middle of the night, and I pleaded, I stood in the gap and prayed for him specifically. He's just one person, and you carry that burden as a whole church. Just because he's my brother, that makes no difference. You guys all carry that burden, but you have family too. You have loved ones too that you can look around. And God says, without a vision, people are going to perish. And I got thinking, there is such expectation, and I'm so excited to be in the house of God. I don't know why other people aren't excited to be in the house of God, but that's not going to take away my excitement and my expectation. I have an expectation that there's going to be standing room only in here. I have an expectation they're going to be lined up against this wall and against this wall. They're going to be kneeling down by the altar during the service right before it starts, because they got nowhere else to stand and they got nowhere else to sit. So if you don't get here early, you're going to have a hard time finding a seat. Is that okay, Brother Al? We got a burden for some lost loved ones tonight. If we can just tap in and just pray for a few minutes, then we'll move forward with the rest of the service. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, have your will, Lord. Lord, stand, Lord, there's others standing in the gap, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, there's such a praying spirit, Lord. Lord, may it be okay if we get baptized in anguish, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. To hurt for the things that hurt your heart. To grieve for things that grieve your heart, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, you put that expectation in us, Lord, that there is going to be standing room only someday, Lord. But Lord, first we need to have a burden for those lost loved ones in Jesus' name, Lord. Have a burden for those ones down that lost their lives in Orlando and the loved ones that surround that community, Lord. Lord, I believe, Lord, you can make something good out of a terrible situation, Lord, in Jesus' name, down in Orlando, Lord, throughout this country in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May your will be done. Hallelujah. If we could give God a hand clap of praise, he is worthy of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To see through eyes of love is to see people not as they are, but how God sees them after his love touches their life, just the way God sees us. We weren't like this always. And the only way that we have it together is because God is holding our lives together. Some people like to criticize and be judgmental and say, well, look at you have everything together. No, we don't. God holds everything together. He holds every string into place. I can't take credit for anything in my life. He does it all. I'm so thankful to be in church tonight. I believe God's going to honor those prayers. And just like that tugging you feel, and you tap into that spirit of intercessory prayer, you go home tonight, you feel quickened in your spirit. Don't take that lightly. Somebody's eternity is at stake. Sorrow precedes joy. To have joy in our life, he goes, you're gonna endure some sorrow for the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's gonna come. It's gonna hurt. You're gonna hurt for them. You're gonna pray for them. You're gonna stand the gap for them. It's gonna be worth it. You're gonna rejoice with them when they get it. When they get it, we're gonna know it. They're gonna know that they got it. And we're gonna rejoice with him. But it's gonna come some times when we gotta get on our knees. We have our little cookie cutter program. Said, Lord, just take it. We give this, we offer this to you. We offer this evening to you. We offer our lives to you as a sacrifice. Lord, you do what you want with it, how you want to do with it. I can't tell him how I want him to use me, or that would be like a pot telling the one holding the pot what to put in there and what not to put in there. He's holding the pot, so he can do what he wants with it. So I do believe I have a word from the Lord, and I'm thankful for this church because this church is very supportive. We support each other. We are a family. This is a church family. This is a church body. We have brothers and sisters. We have some big brothers. We have some little brothers. We have some big sisters. We have some little sisters. We have mentors. We have people that we look up to. We have people that look up to us. It's a great place to be. I'm going to read my text, but I'm going to, if you don't mind, if it's okay with you, I'm going to use a New Living Translation version, but on the board, they're going to put the King James Version. Just because when I started teaching a few years ago up in the teen class, I got more comfortable. It's more comfortable for me to teach from that. If it's okay with you, I'd like to read those verses. And I still have a King James Bible. I do parallel. I get on my Bible Gateway on my iPad or on the computer at home, and I put like the Amplified. I put the New Living Translation. I put the King James Version. This is King James Version. I didn't walk away from that. I just like using this at times. So. Our text tonight is in Genesis 39, 7 through 12. And it said, "And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. 'Come and sleep with me,' she demanded, but Joseph refused. 'Look,' he told her, 'my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you.'" I'm going to stop right there. And when I read that, it reminded me of Adam and Eve. When God gave Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden. But he goes, "I gave you everything but this one tree. Because you are his wife, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be such a sin against God." She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her. And he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak as he ran from the house. And the title for my message tonight is, "If you can't shake it off, pull it off." If you can't shake off some things, and there's some things that we can shake off, but there's some things we have to pull off. If you could just pray with me for a moment. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint this, Lord, this very message, Lord. We give it to you, Lord, as an offering, Lord. May it fall upon anointed ears, Lord, and hearts and minds in Jesus' name, Lord, as you gave me a specific word for this church in Jesus' name, Lord. May it be conveyed clearly, Lord. May it be received clearly, Lord, and articulated clearly, Lord, and received well, Lord. May we respond to you, Lord, in a way that is pleasing to you, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated at this time. A few examples. When I'd go golfing when I was younger, I think it was a teenager, about 18 years old, I would go golfing. I got my first set of golf clubs, and those are the practice clubs. Those are the ones you're going to kind of bang up a little bit, and because you're really rough, you're new at golfing. You would hit the ground a little harder than usual. You get up by a tree, you'd hit a tree. And I would take, and a few years later, I'd go and I wanted to upgrade and get a nicer set of clubs. But I didn't get rid of my old set of clubs. So I would take one or two of my old set of clubs with me and throw them in the bag. And this is before I got the Holy Ghost. But I would go, when I go golf, and when I would swing, and I would hit the ball, and I would look to where I wanted to hit it, and it did not go in the direction I wanted to go. More than once, I would slice the ball, and out of my frustration, I would grab my old golf club and throw that thing as hard as I could, just to relieve some frustration. Then I would be around some guys that are better than you, or better golfers than you, and he goes, "You just got to shake that off. Shake off a bad golf swing." But you don't understand, when I get up behind that ball and I'm ready to swing, after you hit a couple bad ones, every muscle in my body would start to tense up. And then by the time I would get down, I would be so tight I got a little stress reliever by throwing that club. So I was okay. After I threw it a couple times, or maybe threw it at a tree or whatever, I felt a little better. But somebody would say, "You just need to shake off that bad swing." My job is a very dusty job. I hang drywall for a living. Most of you know that. When I get out to the car at the end of the day, I got to beat the dust off of my jeans. After a while, It's going to happen. It starts to accumulate. The dust starts to build up in the dashboard, and it gets in cracks in places that are hard to reach to clean. It gets on those little louvers where the AC or the heat comes out. And after a while, you could probably write your name or something on top of the dash there, and yeah, I got to clean it up. But that just goes with the job that I have. But I got to shake off some dust. And there's some things that we need to pull off. And an example that I got thinking about was, does anybody ever grow up being around creek beds or going around rivers and you wanted to play? Have you ever had one of those ropes tied around a tree and you would swing out into the river, you'd let go when you got as far as you could? But you would play around by the rocks or you'd go fishing with somebody, and some people even use these leeches that they would put them on a hook, or they would get underneath the rock and they would pick up the rocks and there would be a leech and this is when I was younger, and one of my little friends, they'd pick it up, they'd put it on their hand, and it wouldn't come off. You physically have to remove that thing. So there's some things that you can shake off, and there's some things you have to pull off. Doing a nature walk, I got thinking about this last night. Those little round, prickly little balls that, I don't know if it's a weed or a plant or something, but you start walking, and it gets on your pant leg, and sometimes you can get on your skin, and it feels like Velcro. And you're like, you got to get, they start to accumulate really quick. There was a temptation that took place in Joseph's life. I'm sure it was subtle, but at first it wouldn't let up. I'm sure she made herself attractive. And I'm sure at first, when this started happening, he would walk away and say, "Lord, please help me. I did not ask to be in this position." Maybe some thoughts were racing through his mind. "Lord, when I grew up, I took care of my dad's stuff. I did what I was told. I went out to see my brothers. They wanted to kill me. They threw me in the pit. I was sold as a slave. Things are getting better. I'm not in that pit anymore. They didn't kill me. And I'm doing everything my boss is telling me to do. And I'm doing it right. He trusts me with everything. But I got his wife hounding me, and she won't leave me alone. Lord, help me." Attractive and alluring, but evil at heart is what Potiphar's wife was. She's wicked to the core, but attractive on the surface, I'm sure. Honoring God in Joseph's life, though, became a priority. That was his top priority above anything, because above the flesh was honoring God. When we consider temptation or even giving into it, he becomes less honorable in our lives, and sin becomes more favorable in our hearts and in our minds. We have that power to overcome that temptation, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit and you're working in your life, you can overcome things. You can overcome temptation. You can overcome anything. We can be more than conquerors in him for the one who saved us, because we have that overcoming power that worketh in us. Not everybody has that power. Not everybody is able to be an overcomer. I told a coworker one time, I said, "You're an overcomer." He said, "No, I'm not." So he didn't believe that he was an overcomer, but he had the power in him. He didn't grasp it. But the ones that do have the power in us, we have the power to be overcomers. And that's one of the great things the Holy Ghost is. It's love, it's joy and peace, but it gives us that power to resist and overcome temptation when others aren't able to overcome that. Either way, he was going to be accused by this woman falsely or by God if he gave in. If he did the right thing and God protected him, doing the right thing is going to take determination. It took determination and a made-up mind. It took honoring God over giving in and being tempted by the flesh. And that was a temptation. That temptation that Joseph had is not the temptation that you may have. The things that I may be tempted in isn't things you may not be tempted in. The enemy has been doing this a very long time, for thousands of years. He knows your weaknesses. He knows my weaknesses. He isn't going to bother you with things that are going to be very attractive to me, are going to be very attractive to my eyes, are going to be very attractive to my ears. But he is going to work and play on you because he's done this for many multiple generations. But God has given us that overcoming power. Point number two, I want to read in Genesis 19, 1 through 10. It's a story in the Sodom and Gomorrah. It says in verse 1, that evening the two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom. And Lot was sitting there, and when he saw them, he stood up to meet them. And then he welcomed them and bowed his face to the ground. My lords, he said, come to my home and wash your feet and be my guest for the night. You may then get up early in the morning and be on your way again. Oh no, they replied, we'll just spend the night out here in the city square. But Lot insisted. So at last they went home with him. Lot prepared a feast for them, complete with fresh bread made without yeast, and they ate. But before they retired for the night, all the men of Sodom, young and old, came from all over the city and surrounded the house. They shouted to Lot, where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out here so we can have sex with them. That's what it says in the New Translation Version. So Lot stepped outside to talk to them, shutting the door behind him. Please, my brothers, he begged them, don't do such a wicked thing. Look, I have two virgin daughters. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do with them as you wish. But please leave these men here alone, for they are my guests and are under my protection. Stand back, they shouted. This fellow came to town as an outsider, and now he's acting like our judge. We'll treat you far worse than those other men. And they lunged toward Lot to break down the door. But the two angels reached out, pulled Lot into the house, and they bolted the door. Temptation was the first point I wanted to bring tonight. The second one was our moral integrity. Something happened over time, and it didn't happen overnight, was Lot's moral integrity became compromised. When others in your family, I was explaining this to the youth not too long ago, or classmates, or your coworkers say, what's wrong with a man being with a man or a woman being with a woman? It is 2016. Where are you? Where have you been? That's fine if you want to believe that way, but there's some things that I need to shake off. I'm grounded. Sister Davis said something this morning that really stuck in my mind. To buy the truth and sell it not. I'm not going to let this thing go. If you want your opinion, that's fine. But I'm grounded in this truth. I bought this truth. I invested time in this. I invested prayer. People invested time in me. The generations before me prayed for me, prayed me into this place. I'm not letting this go. I'm not letting this apostolic doctrine go. I love them. I do love them, and I have compassion. We need to have a heart of compassion for them because they are lost. But to love them with everything that we have, but, you know, I need to love the truth with everything that I have also. Lot, over time, changed the way he thought and began entertaining thoughts he would never have being around his uncle Abraham. In verse 8, it says, look, I have two virgin daughters. Let me bring them to you, and you could do with them as you wish. Are you out of your mind? I got three daughters. There's men and women here that have daughters or sons. Something happened. There's something that stopped his relationship. He stopped his relationship with his uncle. Yeah, they got crowded, but I'm sure that they could have sent messengers and said, you know, I need to make an effort to make time with my uncle. He's a man of moral integrity. I need to make an effort because I'm losing something. But over time, he began to compromise. He faced his house toward a direction, towards a wicked city. Oh, Jesus. To read that verse and to just brush that off was be as bad as Lot saying what he said. Do whatever with my virgin daughters as you wish. Are you out of your mind? That is beyond my comprehension. What happened to you, Lot? Where have you been? These are your precious children. But compromise set in. Moral integrity began to deteriorate in his life. When we choose to entertain thoughts and we don't submit them before God, and this is one example. There are so many examples in the Bible that strongholds begin to take place in our mind and in our heart. Let me ask you this, and I'll be the first to admit it, this has happened to me. Have you ever been at work or at home and you let your mind just entertain thoughts, maybe towards a particular individual? You have not talked to that person, but assumption would kick into your mind and you would assume something about that individual and you would build up some kind of contempt against that individual and you would become angry. And it's like a thought that just came out of nowhere. And if they walked in the door at that moment, you had that thought, you would rip their heads right off. Where did that come from? That come from a lack of submitting my thought before God, and I allowed a stronghold to come in my life. God help us. There's times we need to do that when we come to church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. We deal with things that we just accumulate things, just like accumulate dust or those little prickly burrs that we go out walking through in the forest and stuff in the woods, and we don't mean to, but we just pick it up. I didn't leave the house with all this, but I came home and I'm really dirty and I got all this stuff attached to me, and I need to shake some stuff off. I need to pull some stuff off. It's going to take some effort. It was attractive at first a lot. He had a choice. Abraham gave him that choice in the beginning. And because of not submitting his thoughts before the Lord, giving up his relationship with Abraham, he lost everything. He lost his marriage. His wife turned backwards, as we know. She turned into a pillar of salt. His daughters took advantage of him. He lost his home. They were homeless. They lost everything. It began when he gave up his moral integrity. It began when he looked at something that was attractive to his eyes and it became appealing to him. And he faced his house, his tent, in a certain direction. It didn't happen overnight, because when he was with Abraham, none of that stuff. You couldn't. Abraham, and then knowing Lot then, and they were close, they would have never even imagined anything like that even across his mind. But it happened over time. I was pressured by a coworker once, and this man, and I love him, and we need to have love for people that we don't agree with all the time. Lord, I'll be laying in bed at night, and I'll be grieved over somebody, and just my spirit is grieved, and somebody that may despitefully try to use me, or somebody that has an alcoholic problem, and their hurt is just transferred, and they like to transfer their hurt on people that they don't mean to. But they have a soul. And I've seen God do miraculous things in the workplace where I would pray for more than one individual. And I've seen God, I even prayed for somebody on a Sunday night, and the guy would get home from work, and the guy said, my truck broke down. And this is a guy that would just harass me. He goes, my truck broke down, I can't get it to work. Can you pick me up? And on my way from picking him up to the job site, he goes, I'm going to start talking to you differently. Pray for those that despitefully use you and that persecute you. Submit that thought. Don't try to rip their head off. God placed them in your lives for a particular reason, for a particular purpose. It's not easy. It's not easy walking this walk and living this life. That's why we need each other. We need to be encouraged. I need to come here, and if I come here discouraged, I need to walk out encouraged. I love the way Sister Kellum, she loves my girls when they come up to pray, and she puts her arms around him and she says, I love you so freely. And it's not a love, I love you, like a word that it's just evident. It's just the power of God working in her. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for my church body that and for the ones that aren't here tonight and the ones that have experienced this love, it just breaks my heart and grieves my heart that they don't know that like we know it. They don't have it like we have it. First one was temptation, second one was moral integrity, and my third one is about my worship. And In 2 Samuel 6, 12 through 16, it says, Then King David was told, The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went there and brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with great celebration. After the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had gone six steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of the ram's horns. Verse 16, But as the Ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She was filled with contempt for him. Haters are going to hate. Critics are going to criticize. People are going to do what they are going to do. But somebody with a made-up mind that says, you know what, I'm going to worship God. I don't care what that person thinks or what that person doesn't think. We have plenty of room in our church. If you feel uncomfortable and that person doesn't is kind of locked up and they don't want to worship, I could probably move over about four or five places and I can get my praise on. You know, if they're a little locked up, they got a little critical spirit and they want to be bound up, I don't have to be bound up. That's their choice. That's a choice. I choose not to be bound up. I got thinking about this, and I got thinking about Sister Sue Ann, and I get this way at times, and I know she does too, but just being in the presence of God and being there sitting in our seats or standing in our seats, and it's great, but sometimes, Lord, I just want a little bit more of you. Sometimes we have our favorite places where we sit, and we get used to it. We've got a little real estate, you know, in our church, but when the presence of God is still strong, and I enjoy being in his presence in the house of God, I want a little more. I don't want to just stay in my seat. I want to kind of get up here, be at his feet, sometimes feel his heartbeat. Lord, I love being here. I could feel very strong where I'm at, but I need a little more. I want a little more. And we have that opportunity. You know, we're not bound by that. None of us are bound to be where we are right now. If we want more of God, we could step out of our seat and come up here at any time. Nobody's going to restrict you. Nobody's going to say, you can't do that. We have freedom in this church. We have freedom in the house of God. I'm thankful for that. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? Worshippers are attracted to worshipers. I love going to youth convention and love going to conferences because that kind of thing takes place there. And don't get me wrong, there's some, you know, if you had a rough day, and I know that there's sometimes my muscles won't let me do some things I would love to do, worshiping the Lord. And getting older like that, and I know that I'm not as old as some others, but my body has taken a beating over the past 20 years doing my job. But there's other days, Lord, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I want to give you everything that I got. And I have an opportunity to do that. I have an opportunity to do that tonight in your house. But the worshipers, when you get to a conference like that, you can they are attracted to each other. They all, I just love the spirit that's in the youth convention this past year. It would be like as soon as the cymbal, the drummers hit the cymbal or the musicians started hitting the keyboard, there was just a mad dash. You got to get out of the way because they're going to trample on you. They want to get up. They're not content being happy where they are in their seat. They want to get a little closer. They want to get a little more to the closer to God. They want to feel his heartbeat. They want to please him. They want to put a smile on his face when they are there. They're not just there to put their time in or do their thing. And I could say this about the youth, and I could say this about adults, because a lot of us are still young at heart. And we could see the young ones jumping and dancing before the Lord. But, man, I got to dance in spirit, and I got to jump in spirit. And some days I can't dance, and some days I can jump because maybe my legs won't work. But Abraham couldn't do it either. But I'm sure that if he wanted to dance or if he was able to dance, he would. But he was dying, and he held on to his cane. And he says, I'm going to worship with everything I can. I could remember Brother Umbers being back there, and he started to get hunched over and in his old age, but I'm sure he had a worshiping spirit. I don't know, the ones that have been here back in the day when Brother Umbers was here, I'm sure he was a man that was on fire for God at one time. He's not with us here anymore, but it was hard to see him like that. But I'm sure that his posture is a little better now today than it was than when we've seen him the last few years. I'm going to close. We could stand at this time. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Putting on a spirit of praise feels so much better than carrying in a spirit of heaviness. David had the ephod. He had that priestly robe. He wore something. You know what? Even the ones in the leadership in the church, you have the potential to carry a heaviness. And you have the opportunity to lighten the load. I don't like wearing this thing half the time. But I want to dress my best for the Lord. I want to give him everything I got. If this thing makes me feel heavy, if I come here with a heavy heart, if I come here with a heavy burden, I need to shake some things off. If I can't shake it off, David says, I had to pull it off. I want to lose it. I want to give him everything I got. I don't want to leave nothing left. People have their church on Saturday nights. They have them in the bars and in the nightclubs. We have our church on Sunday nights. They gave everything they had, and they sleep in Sunday, and they're hungover, and they have nothing left. But Lord, we give him everything we got on a Sunday night. He gives us, he renews our strength. We walk out of here, we could go to bed exhausted, but we wake up refreshed and renewed because he renews our spirit, he renews our bodies, he renews our minds. A miserable person never knows what they're going to do. You sleep so much better when you make up your mind to give the Lord and to serve him with everything that you have. You go from follow the crowd status to I'm getting the attention to heaven and the one that sits on his throne. When I shake off and I tear off the heaviness, that weight that carried me, that I was carrying when I walked in here. But I walk out here so much lighter when I can lift my hands, I can praise him. I'm thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that we feel in this place every time we get together. The worship is so anointed. What God is doing up here on the platform, it's incredible. God is doing a work through Brother Kellum and through the musicians and the praise singers. It is not them doing that on their own, but God is pouring out this oil over them, and we are benefiting from it, but he is pouring out this oil over us as well. There's such an anointing at times when we get together. I don't want that to take that for granted. I remember coming to Sunday night services when I first started going to church. I went to the church in Aurora, the FAC of the Aurora Church. And the Sunday night services, they were different than the Sunday morning services because there were so many people involved in Sunday school department. They had bus drivers. They had a bus ministry that was massive. There were people that couldn't sit here and take part in the morning service. But when you got ready for a Sunday night service, people would get ready for at 4:30. They would have a 6:30 service, and the choirs would get ready to sing. The musician, and the praise singers came here early tonight. They prepared, and God blessed that. I believe that those Sunday school teachers and those bus drivers and the bus ministry, they brought expectation when they come to a Sunday night service. They did not have the opportunity that most of us have on a Sunday night, but they have the opportunity, and they bring that with them. I'm thankful for the Sunday school teachers, and I know at times that they would love to be up here because they could hear what's going on, but part of them is like, I wish I could be up here. But they're doing the Lord's work and affecting lives in the kingdom of God and the eternity of these children down here. So sometimes this is their only night that they get to be a part of church. I'm going to come and ask if you would come to the altar and let the Lord examine you. If there's anything that maybe has stuck to you that you haven't shaken off or that you have stuck subconsciously into your heart and your mind. When Brother Levine was here Wednesday night and he brought an incredible word of the Lord, there was an openness of our heart where God was able to affect our heart and God was able to work on some things on the inside. I need to allow God, Lord, work on me. And for him to work on me, I need to allow him to do that. It's a choice. I can keep this door shut, or I can open it and say, Lord, examine me. Is there some things I need to shake off in my life? Or is there some things I need to pull off? Is there some things I've gotten emotionally attached to? You know what? If it has, it's going to hurt when you pull it off. But Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me, Lord. Examine me, Lord. I want to have a pure heart and I want to have a pure mind before you, Lord. We're gonna have to deal with clutter, because that's just the world we live in and it's the life we live. We're going to accumulate dust. We're going to get things stuck to us. But Lord, examine my heart and my mind. If there's something that needs to be removed, help me remove it, Lord. Open me today. On a personal, this is very personal, and I wanted to share this with the church because I felt led to. And this is a prayer that I prayed about 10 years ago. And I said, Lord, if my family's not going to make it, don't save me either. But that was 10 years ago. And I love my girls very much. And I kind of look over there, and it's hard for me not to break down because I love them with all my heart. But there's choices that we have to make, and there's choices that they have to make. And I tell the youth, there's choices that you have to make. If none go with me, still I will follow. I want my family to be here. Brother L, Sister Christiana, you want your family to be here. He mentions them all the time in the staff meeting. We take on a burden. We bear each other's burdens. But there's choices our family members are going to have to make. Am I going to come? Or am I going to walk away? What soil? Lord, till this soil. I need to be pliable. To be pliable, Lord, stick your hand inside. Stick your hand on the outside. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt when he sticks his hand on the inside. Sticking on a hand on the outside is okay. But when you stick your hand on the inside, I feel that, Lord. But it's for my good. It's to bring me up. It's to mold me, to make me, to use me, to be more than what I could be used on my own, and to be used on my own ability. There's some things that you do not need to shrug off and you do not need to pull off or shake off. Is when you walk into your house, and I know that I'm not the only one who does this. If you walk into your house, or you walk into the presence of God, or you feel a tugging by the Lord to come up front, or you just, Lord, your presence is so strong. Here I am. What do you want? I don't have to go anywhere. You just stand still. Know he is God. If he manifests his presence in a powerful way, don't shake that off. Don't take that lightly. I remember coming back from U Convention, and we left the convention hall, and I walked across the street. We went to our hotel, and I walked into the room by myself, and the other youth were together in another room, and the Lord's presence was so strong. I'm like, I just walked right into him. Lord, what is it? What do you want? What do you want to say to me? What do you want me to do? Sometimes it's just acknowledging him. He may tell you later. He comes in a still small voice, but he needs to be honored and acknowledged. He deserves that. He just wants to know, are you going to stop? I know you're familiar with my presence. How do you respond to it? Maybe he's just checking you. How are you going to respond when you walk into it? Are you going to disregard it? Are you going to walk as if I was never here? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, the invisible, be the only God to receive glory and honor forever. I'm going to turn this message over, the rest of the service over to Brother Callum, but I'm going to leave you with this one last thought. And this is one that I've been driving home to the youth for the past year and a half. Solomon was told by his dad, David, when he was on his deathbed, one of the last things he told David was learn to be intimate with God. Learn to have a close relationship with me. Lord, intimacy. Lord, see into me. Examine me. Open my heart. If there's things that I need to be pulled off, if there's things that I need to have shaken off, Lord, shake them off of me. If we could all gather around at this time and just have a time of examination for the Lord.
Break through the shame. I've had enough of sin. not enough. I stay in the same. Break through the fear. Open the gates. I've had enough. I'm staying in the same. I need you to break through. Tear down the walls. Let everything fall. Cause I want to praise you.
I believe God does want us to break through tonight, whether we're fighting with temptation or we're fighting through sickness. Maybe we're wrestling with salvation. Maybe guilt's hitting us. You know, as I was reading the word this last week, a thought that came to me was, is he God or is he not? Is he our healer or is he not our healer? Is he our Savior or is he not our Savior? So like Brother Tom preached tonight, it's time to just either shake it off or pull it off and let God be God. Amen. It is time to break through. Amen. We are a sleeping giant. You know, they like to use that phrase of the United States, you know, whenever they entered into World War II, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor and the world was going, they just woke up a sleeping giant. Well, God's army is a lot mightier than that, amen? And we are not called to be a sleeping giant, amen? We were called, as he said, to be more than conquerors, amen?
Amen, amen.
It is not by might, it is not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord, amen? This Holy Ghost power that we have in us, amen? The very shadow of the disciples walked by and they were healed. They had no money in their pockets, but they said, such as I have, I give unto thee, rise up and walk, amen? We are the apostolic church. We are the church of Acts. Amen. I believe in healing power. I believe that people are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost today. There's no reason to hide this. Amen. There's no reason to walk in the shadows. Amen. We need to shake it off or pull it off and stand for the God that we serve. Amen. As little David went up to that big giant, and before he went there, he looked, and I'm sorry, I'm not adding to his sermon. That was a great sermon, but it inspired me. When he looked at his brothers, and his brothers got mad and angry at him. David, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, just give us our lunch. Go back home, you know? You're embarrassing us. You know, these guys are working hard here. They're putting a lot of effort into this. And David goes, he's still up there shouting and defying the name of the Lord. What are you guys doing? I didn't hear anything of what you said. I just heard, blur, 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 blur. But I hear what that giant's saying. That giant's saying, come to me. Who will come to me? I defy the God of Israel. David had a lot to shake off. For one, he was just a young boy. For one, he was not a man of war. Sure, he beat the lion. He beat the bear. And he knew it was God that stood by him. But it took a lot of faith for David. It took a lot of faith for King Saul to say, you know, that giant said, if we lose, we're going to be a slave. But yeah, go ahead, little David. Give it your best shot. No, it took him some faith, too. We don't give him some credit. But you know what? Saul knew what the anointing felt like. He knew that he was standing in the presence of a little boy, but there was the anointing there. He felt that Holy Ghost right there. And there was something in Saul's mind going, oh, boy, this is what we need. This is what we've been waiting for. Here, take my armor. Take my sword and... they put it on. It didn't fit. And David goes, you know what? I'm just going to have to go with what I got. I got some stones. He went up to that giant. We know the story. Hit him right in between the eyes, and he fell face first. And can you imagine what Philistines were thinking about, going, wait a minute. Here's our six-fingered giant, a six-toed giant standing up there, man above all men, towered everybody. And there was a family of giants that Goliath even came from that... The servants of David later on, if you read, defeated them. Amen. They went up here, they were hunkering down in these trenches before, but now when they seen that one small stone nailed them between the eyes, boy, they were running out of the trenches, and they chased them. It's time, I believe this came from the word of the Lord. It is time to shake it off or pull it off and let God be God. Amen. Let us stand for the Almighty God. I believe God has big things for us. Praise God. I like what Brother Davis said this morning about our pastor and about this church and how he wants to see this church succeed, not just for his own legacy, but there's lost souls here in Sandwich. We have lost souls in Sugar Grove. We have lost souls in Yorkville and Plano and all the surrounding area. And we don't have to be a sleeping giant. We could pull the veil off and let that beacon shine and let those lost ships in the storms of their life see that there is hope right here in Sandwich. I believe that God wants to use this church, use each one of us, Brother Tom, Brother Al, and all the ministers, and our pastor and his family, and each and every single one of us. The Bible called us to be a kingdom of priests. Amen. We don't have to stay quiet. Brother, we can speak our voice. When God lays in our heart, when we're at work, at the workplace, at the store, we're walking, taking a walk around the neighborhood, and God lays in our heart, we can speak. Amen. We can speak. We have a voice. Amen. We have that anointing. We can say, you know what? God healed me at one time. God filled me with the Holy. Just like little David when we told Saul, I killed that bear. I killed that lion. When they tried to steal the lamb, we can say, God's healed me. God's filled me with the Holy Ghost. I've seen people go down in the name of Jesus and come up speaking in tongues. I've seen lives change. I've seen divorces get rekindled. I've seen what the worm tried to take away, and God restored it completely. We serve a great God. Amen. Let's give him praise as we were dismissed. God, we love you, Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for using us, God. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit, for your anointing, God, for your power, the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. God, we pray, God, not our will, but your will be done, Lord. Use us as you will, Lord Jesus. God, whatever's holding us back, God, help us to shake it off, Lord. Whatever is hindering us, God, help us to pull it off, God. And help us to move forward, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.